oblong shape about the size of a railroad car. It was bulbous, almost like a dumbbell, although its surface was far from smooth. Its metal hull seemed incredibly old, pitted with age, dull and worn and ancient. It reminded Jordan somehow of ancient Egyptian sarcophagi he'd seen in museums back on Earth. "This was our starship," Audrey said, his voice barely above a whisper in the big, shadowy circular room. "That's too small to be a starship," Jordan contradicted. "Why, it's not even as big as one of our rocket planes."
"It truly is a starship," Audrey insisted gently.
"It can't be." Then Jordan realized. "That means you weren't born here."
"We weren't born at all," Aditi corrected. "Not in the sense that you mean."
"We were conceived and gestated here," said Audrey, "in the biolab, as you have seen." "But then, who built the biolab? Who built this city, this planet?"
"Our predecessors," Audrey replied.
"Why? How?"
"I should let our one remaining predecessor answer your questions."
"He's here."
"We will have to enter the starship," said Audrey. "In a sense, it is itself our one remaining predecessor."
Jordan's mouth went dry, but he managed to say, "By all means." A circular hatch in the starship's curved hull swung open with a slight grating sound, like hinges long unlubricated. Audrey said,
"Excuse me, but I should enter first."
Jordan watched the old man bend over stiffly and climb through the hatch. He turned and gestured for Aditi to go in before him, but she shook her head.
"I'll stay out here," she said.
"No women allowed?" he joked.
"It's not that," she replied, totally serious. "There isn't much room in there. I'll wait for you."
Trembling inwardly with excitement, Jordan planted one foot on the hatch's lip and pulled himself through. It was even dimmer inside. Jordan hesitated at the edge of the hatch, waiting for his eyes to adjust to the gloom. He made out Audrey's form, crouching just ahead of him, stroking his pet again. Its big round eyes shone luminously in the shadows.
"Close the hatch," Audrey said softly.
Jordan reached for the hatch, but it began to swing shut by itself. This time there was no squeaking, he noticed. As soon as the hatch closed, the chamber they were in lit up. Not brightly, but enough for Jordan to see that they were inside a narrow, low-ceilinged compartment. Its walls and ceiling were lined with tiny glass-like beads. Lights, Jordan thought, although none of them was lit. "Where do we sit?" he asked Audrey, his voice hushed as if they were in a church.
"On the floor," Audrey answered, his voice also little more than a whisper. "This vessel was not built for human comfort."
Feeling slightly foolish, Jordan squatted on the metal deck. "Now what?" Audrey didn't answer. Instead, he called in a stronger voice.
"I have brought the Earthman. He seeks knowledge and understanding."
Suddenly, all the tiny lights winked on, blinking in wild succession, in a cascade of reds, greens, blues, yellows. It made Jordan think of a Christmas display on amphetamines.
"Welcome, Jordan Kell,"
said a calm, sweet tenor voice. Surprised, Jordan had to swallow before he could say, "Thank you, sir." Then he added, "To whom am I speaking?"
"I am the last of the predecessors," said the voice. "I have been waiting for this moment for many thousands of Earth years."
"You are a computer?" Jordan asked.
"I am a self-aware, sentient entity, just as you are."
"But you're a machine, not a person." A moment's hesitation, then,
"Hath not a machine eyes? Hath not a machine organs, dimensions, senses?"
He's quoting Shakespeare, Jordan realized, and very selectively. He asked, "Have you affections, passions as well? If we tickle you, do you laugh? If we wrong you, will you not be revenged?" The voice replied,
"No. No laughter, no vengeance. My intelligence is not awash in hormones and chemical stimulants, as yours is."
"I see."
"You desire to know our history?"
"Very much," said Jordan. "Where do you come from? What is your origin?"
"Our kind arose in a star cluster in what you call the Perseus arm of the galaxy, some 12,000 light years from your solar system. 12,000?
Jordan's mind boggled. You've covered that distance?
We are much older than you.
Yes, I can see that.
Originally, we were organic creatures, although our form was nothing like yours. Over the eons, the organic entities went extinct, but they left us their inorganic sentient descendants. We have survived.
And why did you come here? Was it a purposeful mission, or did you just happen along this way?
Our travels are purposeful. We seek intelligent civilizations, be they organic or otherwise.
And you created Audrey and his people?
We built this planet and peopled it,
the voice replied,
to attract your attention.
Jordan squeezed his eyes shut for a moment, his mind churning, trying to add up what he'd just been told. A machine. It's a machine. It's traveled 12,000 light-years to come here and create new Earth and people it with human-like creatures to attract our attention. He asked, But if your original biological form looked nothing like us, not human at all, how did you create Audrey and the rest of these people to be so human-like?
From samples of your cellular structure.
Samples of our... Jordan gasped. You visited Earth?
Many times.
Audrey raised a hand. Looking slightly embarrassed, almost guilty, he said,
I'm afraid that many of your UFO stories stem from our visits to your planet.
They're true? Jordan gasped.
Some of them, said Audrey. Many have been highly embellished, of course.
I'll be damned, Jordan said. Then he realized, You, Aditi and all the rest of you, were created merely to attract our attention? The voice answered,
They were created so that your first contact with another intelligent civilization would be as easy for you as possible.
And now that we've made contact, what's to become of these people?
They have served their function. They will live out their lives and then wither away, as all organic creatures do.
That's not right. Not fair. It's inhuman.
It is the nature of organic species to eventually pass into extinction. Neither fairness nor your concept of right can alter biological inevitability.
But,
Jordan,
said Audrey, placing a calming hand on Jordan's knee,
the predecessor is speaking in terms of millennia, eons. Be content. The human race will also face extinction eventually. Perhaps not for many millennia. Perhaps sooner.
No! We're not dinosaurs, not trilobites. We're intelligent. We can overcome biological dead ends. The voice countered,
Intelligence is rare in the galaxy. Sadly, most intelligent species destroy themselves, just as your species is doing now.
Almost angrily, Jordan demanded, Then what's the reason for your going to all this trouble, traveling here, building a planet to resemble Earth, populating it with human beings? Why have you done all this?
The danger. For several moments, the voice was silent. Jordan sat in the cramped compartment and watched the multicolored lights flickering across Audrey's weathered face as the old man sat beside him, stroking his calming pet. At last, the voice said,
Intelligence is extremely rare in the galaxy. Most intelligent species destroy themselves.
You've said that, Jordan replied impatiently. You've said that the human race is already in the process of destroying itself.
That is true.
Have you come to help us, then?
Yes, Jordan Kell. But more important, we have also come to ask for your help.
That stunned Jordan. Our help? What do you mean?
28,000 Earth years ago, the two black holes at the core of the galaxy merged into one. Their merger caused a massive gamma-ray burst that is spreading across the galaxy, killing everything in its path.
28,000 years ago?
In slightly more than 2,000 years, your planet Earth will be bathed in lethal levels of gamma radiation. All life on your world will be erased.
But our astronomers haven't seen any such discharge in the galaxy's core, Jordan objected.
Your astronomers see the core as it existed some 30,000 years ago. The light of the gamma burst has not reached your telescopes yet,